Hello, it's Catherine and Laura.
Hello.
And we're delighted to reveal that today's final encore episode is a shared inspiration episode from this past season of the podcast, How to Begin. In this episode, we share Michael Bungay Stanier's framework for setting worthy goals that are thrilling, important, and daunting.
That's right. And I think I became re-inspired by this framework after our conversation on this podcast. And that has carried through to recent work and goal setting that I've done with districts over the past several weeks as we think about the focus for the new school year and committing to projects that are thrilling, important, and daunting. It's been great.
Enjoy this replay, and we hope you're inspired by how to begin.
Welcome to season 13 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I'm overjoyed to be joined by my co-host, Catherine.
Hello.
This season of the podcast, we're continuing conversations of sharing what is inspiring us on our ongoing story of learning. This week, we're switching things up just a bit to share the time and discuss a mutual inspiration. So get excited.
Hooray! I love these shared episodes so much.
Yes, it's definitely fun to nerd out together over something that's inspired us both.
Well, before we get to it, Laura, I've got to know, how have things been going with the SEL Three Signatures Playbook? I know you had some next steps from last week's episode, so any updates?
Actually, yes. I think I had a pretty concrete list of steps last week. Sometimes I think my now what's include some lofty major mindset shifts or big transformations for education in general, but maybe I've learned from one of your recent shares to have more concrete language. But regardless, it's going pretty well. I wanted to challenge myself to look for some specific opportunities to embed one of these strategies, and I was able to use one of the optimistic closures called my next step in a recent meeting that I had with some coaches. This also gave me the opportunity to shout this resource out and link the work and the whole playbook. I've also gone ahead and added the playbook to a few explore more slides that will be part of some win time in some summer sessions that I'm building out right now. So check and check. Also, bonus, I know I attended a meeting that you planned a few days after we recorded that episode, and I was delighted to see that you had linked one of the welcoming activities to our agenda to serve as a check-in. So, gold star for you too, Catherine.
Yay. Well, yes, I use the what's new strategy, which is to simply ask what's new with you and let others answer as they wish. This welcoming inclusion activity was perfect for our small group meeting, and we were very informal, but I loved the specific instructions in the playbook about timing, the outcomes, and the debrief. So the true gold star is for meaningful, easy to implement ideas to connect with others.
Excellent. Well, before we dive in with our main topic today, should we also share another mutual inspiration in the form of a quick win?
Sounds good. And Laura, you were the first one who found this site. So I'm happy that I'm the one who gets to share this quick win. And today I'm sharing the Adobe Mic Check.
Yes.
This very simple tool asks you to read the question, "How is my microphone setup and placement?" And the tool gives you feedback in the areas of distance, gain, background noise, and echo. I think now we each jump in and check our mic placement before we start recording a podcast. And we understand the importance of great audio. So, hooray for an easy tool to check our sound.
It's pretty cool. And Adobe Podcast in general has some wild AI powered tools for audio and even editing. So if you're a person who works with audio, it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay, Laura, so time to jump in. Since we're sharing the inspiration this week, we're going to deviate just a bit from our usual reflective protocol and instead use the framework from one of my favorite thought leaders, Simon Sinek, and we'll consider the why, the how, and the what of today's topic.
Sounds good to me. Now, Catherine, I'm pretty sure I learned about this from you originally. So, would you like to be the one to reveal what it is that's inspiring us to learn this week?
Oh, of course. Today, we're talking about the book, How to Begin by Michael Bungay Stanier. And if you listened to last season of the podcast, the name Michael Bungay Stanier, or MBS, probably rings a bell. You might remember our conversation about the 7 essential coaching questions from his book, The Coaching Habit. Also, MBS was my pick for Thought Leader of the Year in our Favorite Things episode last December. And spoiler, I've already pre-ordered his next book, which doesn't arrive until the summer. So yes, I know we're both a fan of all things MBS.
It's true. And though I haven't pre-ordered his latest book, I will be looking that up momentarily. I think like you, the more of MBS's work that I see, the more I feel just delighted by him. I think he is a delightful human. Mm-hmm. I know that we both really got a lot out of this book. And so I'm glad that we're sharing it here. So I think today will be a blast.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. So should we set it up with a 60-second overview before we dive in?
Well, since I'm so great at adhering to the timer, I will do it. I'm on it.
Okay, Laura, in 60 seconds or less, give us the gist and tell us about How to Begin.
Okay. So How to Begin is a book that outlines a process to find and start working toward a worthy goal. The MBS website describes it as being about getting to grips with how to actually change your behavior so you stay curious a little bit longer. The process has 3 broad sections, each with 3 steps. And the sections are set a worthy goal, commit, and cross the threshold. The book is also designed for you to actually go through the steps of the process and provide some embedded space throughout the chapters with an estimated amount of time to spend on each step as you go and as the book progresses. The How to Begin framework is also set up to be scalable and useful. And I know, Catherine, you and I both have used it after reading the book, and I'm really excited to get to talk about it today. Also, how's that for 60 seconds or less? Because I've got time to spare.
Ooh, a new record. Hooray, Laura. What a concise summary. Very nice.
Thank you.
Well, even though that was a less than 60 second recap, Michael emphasizes how much value there is in his process of goal writing, and that may not be a short, quick experience. Mm-hmm. So he states going through the process of developing a worthy goal is even better than actually the outcome. So that's a powerful mindset and vibe as we're going into today's conversation. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the book is divided into 3 sections. And today we're planning to focus on just the first section, which is set a worthy goal. We'll share a little bit from the book and also share some of our own experiences using the process.
But before we get into the content, we have to talk about the design and the style of the book itself. Again, it's called How to Begin, and the smaller text on the cover says, "This book starts now," right here on the cover. You know why. And then there's a small paragraph that basically hypes you up and ends by saying, "You're ready to begin. Open the book and start doing something that matters." And I'll say just that cover alone really did draw me in. It definitely piqued my interest from the get-go, I guess, as designed.
MBS mentions in the acknowledgments that this book's cover is his favorite yet. And then he shares some inspirations for that design. It is very cool.
It is. And actually just the design and the setup of the whole book continued to get my attention and invite me to continue on. Like the style and the sizes of the font, the look and the layout of the pages, it just doesn't look like a typical book, which is a really fun experience for me. There are a number of charts or big text and quotes. Sometimes big words have this kind of grayscale effect and they're layered behind other words or images. And so just the look of the book really worked to enhance the content for me and really helped me to stay engaged and wanting to dive deeper into the process.
He also created a little cartoon avatar of himself that pops up throughout the book with anecdotes and quotes and little sidebars. And that's delightful too. MBS shares, someone said his little character was a mashup of Mr. Incredible and Fozzie Bear. And that was the highest compliment for him. So from the beginning, you get a peek about what's to come and Michael's sense of humor. This book is so engaging from the cover and continues throughout.
It really is. I love the little tiny cartoon MBS that pops up, and it made me think of you and your focus on being playful and even that Easter egg idea. Mm-hmm. So very fun to see his little anecdotes or facts or additional info pop up in the margins.
So playful. Yes. Admire and acquire that idea for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so time to get into the book itself, and we're going to start with why. Why is it important to consider a worthy goal? Mm-hmm. So Michael shares that when you think of goal writing, most people think of
SMART goals.
Right? But he asked, does anyone ever remember what that acronym actually means? Michael says SMART goals are about tidying up your goals and making them measurable. However, if you haven't carefully considered where and how to begin, the SMART goal may not even be applicable. When you start with SMART goals, you're starting with how to measure and not what matters. Mm-hmm. And a worthy goal is all about creating something that matters. MBS says that in doing the work and going through this process of developing a worthy goal and working on hard things, you unlock the best version of you. So I think those are terrific whys for worthy goals rather than other types of goals or goal setting formulas.
Ugh, I'm just remembering why I love this book so much, because I think we've all been just SMART goaled to our end, right? And so remembering why we're even setting goals and why we're going through this process is really small but huge. I think so many of our things are like that. And so I just really love that we're thinking about the why before we jump into a big formula for, yeah, maybe an acronym that please don't quiz me to see if I can recite what SMART goal means.
Right, right. Okay, so we've got our why. We need to work on the worthy goals. So let's move on to the how. As mentioned earlier, we're discussing only the first section today, which is set a worthy goal, and that walks you through writing three iterations of your goal. The first part is to find your focus. This chapter outlines the three elements of a worthy goal and ends with asking you to write your first, he says, either stormy or crappy draft of that goal. And so MBS says that to be worthy, a goal should be thrilling, important, and daunting. Thrilling means what lights you up. He says, like, rubbing your hands in excitement about the goal. Important is something that serves the world, and daunting is something that stretches you and helps you grow.
I love this challenge to find a goal that is worthy, right? Worthy of my time and ambition, plus having those specifics of thinking of something beyond just checking the box of writing a goal, instead checking these boxes of having a goal that is thrilling, important, and daunting. And so this chapter goes into even further detail about how important it is to find that sweet spot of all three, and also warns us of potential pitfalls if we're missing one. So he says, if our goals are important and daunting, but not thrilling, it might end up feeling too obligating. So we're missing the nourishing or sustaining factor, and it could even lead to burnout. If your goal is thrilling and daunting, but not important, it could be too self-centered and kind of missing that bigger why. And so this goal could end up as a why bother. And then finally, he says, if our goals are thrilling and important, but not daunting, we might feel too comfortable. And so you might end up operating on autopilot, and staying here for too long could really lead to stagnation. So I really enjoyed this section and this breakdown, and it really led me to think about previous projects that I have abandoned and also maybe shed some light on what might have happened there. So love that breakdown of those three and also the importance of having all three. Catherine, since you were the one to introduce this work to me, I know that you personally went through this process first as well. Would you be willing to talk to us a little bit about what that looked like for you?
Sure, I would love to. I went through this process for two professional goals, and my first draft of one of the goals was to create a new framework for people who design professional development. So, looking at those three attributes, this topic is one that I have been obsessed with for the past few years, so that's very thrilling for me. And it's important because I think we've all been to PD sessions or workshops or meetings that can be improved. And then it's daunting because the topic is huge and developing a framework is quite lofty, but I thought I could make it happen with a lot of support. And I would definitely feel stretched for that area. I felt like I was on the right track. I know that's not a great first draft, but I was really excited about putting that out there on paper for my first attempt.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I just love this shared language that we have now of thrilling, important, and daunting, because listening to your goal, I think you were absolutely checking all of those boxes. And you and I were working through ideas for a shared summer session, and I was getting some feedback on something that I wanted to create, and I wasn't sure if it would work. And I remember you saying, well, this is certainly thrilling, it's important, and it's daunting. And so I like having that as, again, just shared language since we've both read this book to think through this process of why we do the things we do. And so that gave me permission, like, okay, it is all those three. I'm going for it.
I love that. And another shout out to that common vocabulary and having that common language, how important that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move on to the next chapter in this section, which is test your ambition. This is where MBS introduces a process to write an active second draft. And for this section, let's each share something that really kind of stood out to us while going through this practice ourselves. So, Catherine, what about you? What's your biggest takeaway from this part of the book?
One consideration that checks the importance of your goal is the for the sake of test, which Michael calls FOSO. He says FOSO sounds like a cool Brooklyn neighborhood, by the way. But this reflection helps you make a true connection to something beyond yourself. I'm doing this work for the sake of what? And so Michael writes that the How to Begin Books for the Sake of is to enable people to be a force for change. I just love that. And then my goal is for the sake of eliminating bad PD sessions and meetings.
Hooray, that is a lofty goal. I love that and I support that.
Yeah. So the FOSO for the sake of is something that really stuck out with me. Well, what about you, Laura? What's one of your favorite ideas from this section?
Sure. So the chapter ends in asking us to write a second active draft. And the section that most impacted me was called verbing. And there's a cheeky little MBS cartoon that pops up in the margin that says, yes, I verbed the noun. It's a grammatical crime, which is delightful. But anyway, the verbing section asked that you adjust your second draft. You should commit to action by beginning your goal with a verb. And he's got a great list of sample verbs that you can use, like begin, launch, produce, engage, provide, partner with, invite. So let me tell you briefly about how I use this process and how it was beneficial. I actually went through the How to Begin steps not on my own, but with my team of about eight people led by our amazing coordinator. Shout out to Aaron, who facilitated this process just beautifully. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to draft like a belief statement or create a goal as a team, but in my experience, the more people that are part of that group, the longer it takes, and often mm-hmm. the more just like convoluted this gets. And it really is tricky to truly have equity of voice and hear from everyone and really align vision and thinking in a productive meeting time. So ensuring that we began with a verb to construct our team's guiding goal was an actionable step. And side note, I think we are actually on Zoom for this meeting. So again, major shout out to Aaron for facilitating this process in a meaningful way in a Zoom room. But streamlining and verbing really was doable for everyone to drop a verb into the chat and then choose our favorite one that best aligned with the goal we were setting out to draft. And so we ended up beginning the goal with the word create. And this second draft tweak really kept us moving along and also honing in on what we needed and really wanted to set out to achieve as a team.
It is such a powerful exercise, and that small tweak makes a huge difference. Mm-hmm. My original was make, and then I ended with develop. So yeah, love that. Okay, so let's move on to the third chapter in this section, which is claim your goal. This chapter has you tighten and strengthen your worthy goal and ends with writing a strong final draft. And one of the ways to do this is to go through a process called the voting test. Michael asks you to measure your worthy goal against the attributes of thrilling, important, and daunting. And for each of those three elements, rate it on a scale from 1 to 7. So add up your scores and you'll get something from 3 to 21. And MBS says your target is 18 or higher. If your score is not quite 18, keep tweaking to refine your goal. There may be one lower area, so now you have some feedback about what needs a little bit of oomph.
I love that you walked us through this process. When I first heard about it, I was like, I don't know about this. And it seems sort of arbitrary, like trying to get a score of 18. But I gotta say, the voting test was extremely helpful for our group setting, again, especially over Zoom. And so I feel like this really was equalizing and gave everyone a voice without having to explain things or be wary of like stepping on toes of something that somebody else said or was really into if you weren't. And so it was also really time efficient and quickly gave us this numerical read of where we were and where we wanted to be. So we just popped those numbers into the chat all at once and our coordinator read them and then facilitated any tweaks or next steps from there. And so this practice really was a game changer for group voting or idea calibration for me in my experience.
Laura, side question, did you put your sum total in there or your score for each of the three areas? Do you remember?
If I remember correctly, we went through each of the three areas and then we just to kind of calibrate and see where we were like, ooh, it's really not that daunting. That's the lowest number for everyone. So we went through them individually and then did kind of a rough sum estimate as well.
Okay. Well, I've used this process for 2 professional goals myself, and neither reached an 18 on the second draft. So I needed that final process, which you're about to share, to help give that worthy goal a little boost. So yeah. I love that it worked so well for your team and over Zoom.
Yeah.
What a great, calibrating idea.
Yeah, for sure. And full transparency, when I learned that we were doing a team goal setting meeting over Zoom and the end goal was to write a goal that we all believed in, I was not confident that it was going to be a good use of our time or that we would make it to that end goal. But this process really, really streamlined it and again, it made it meaningful as well. But there is one final tweak in this chapter. And so that is to further refine your draft by adding one word. So MBS recommends adding one word or phrase to tighten the power and focus of your worthy goal. And he provides 6 categories of considerations to think through to tighten up and add that word as you choose. So maybe you want to tighten it up and add a word that relates to commitment or reach or time, scope, standard, or outcome. And our group was thinking about either commitment or scope. And so we added the word consistently to tighten our team goal.
I added several standard words to my goals, such as evolving and high quality and transformational. The other nice thing is that this section ends with a reminder that we're not striving for perfection in our drafts, and we often get too hung up on the language. What we're doing is creating something that is good enough and worth a goal. So our results, the what out of our why and how and what, is creating a worthy goal that motivates us, improves the lives of others, and causes us to learn and grow along the way. So, whoo, that's section one of the book, and we have a worthy goal now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to go back really quickly to say, I really appreciated that this section ended with a reminder of, okay, it doesn't have to be perfect. Is this good enough? Mm-hmm. Because there are still two sections to go. And I like that because we had spent some time being really, really meticulous. Like, okay, what if we add one word? What will that do? And if we begin with a verb, and let's do this sort of arbitrary, but actually important voting scale. And so it seemed like we were really, really focused on the words, and then having him wrap up by saying, like, okay, excellent work. Don't get hung up on making it perfect. Is this good enough? Is this worth a go? And so I really appreciated that as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to start wrapping up the conversation, and we've each got just a couple of other things to share. I'll start, and this is not exactly related to creating the worthy goals, but in the last section of the book, MBS shares how he experiments to keep learning and improving his work, and he writes his practice is to be in a what is this teaching me mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And reading that question, what is this teaching me, made me so happy because that idea exactly captures my state of learning and being. Mm. I love this reflection, question, and mindset so much. I keep sharing it with others. And so for those not ready to write a worthy goal, a giant takeaway from today could be this fabulous question and mindset, what is this teaching me?
Oh, that is a good one. And already in the back of my mind, I'm like, ooh, where can I embed this reflection question as we are in a kind of wild wrap-up state of the year? So that is a good takeaway.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Laura? What else?
For me, mine really is maybe more concrete. I'm thinking about the impact of my own goals that I wrote this year versus last year. Each year in our organization, we take some time to create some goals and then kind of check in with them. And I want to say that going through this process made it far less of a check the box on turn in your goal sheet type of thing. And I really took some time to create goals that I'm excited about and that are really meaningful and are thrilling and important and daunting. So even just thinking about those three aspects as I've created goals for myself, that's been really good to have something that I'm excited about and made that process more authentic.
Well, again, shout out to Aaron, and hint to other leaders, like, this is an amazing process to go through with your teams and with yourself.
For sure, for sure. And then the other thing I wanted to share is this book has lots of resources. There's like little QR codes throughout. There's a section of his website that is related resources. When I was talking about a list of verbs you can use, he has an even bigger list that you can access online. So it carries on just beyond the text that you can explore some of the resources that he has curated and shared that goes with it. I also am just kind of making a connection. Catherine, I think you actually pointed it out to me that I am really vibing with these resources like Teach Happier. I am still excited and inspired by where you have the opportunity to write in the book and like there's little lines and that's the smallest thing. And as a pretty digital lady, I don't know, I'm pretty excited to take some time to journal inside of a book. I don't know if it's like scandalous and I like that, but this really appealed to me that you really can work along and there's provided space and even time where he's like, this should take about 5 minutes or this should take about 3 minutes. And so I really like that. And so apparently I'm really into writing in books right now.
Well, I am not. And so I downloaded all of his materials and I have them digitally in my notes. So, but yes, good point there. Well, it is so inspiring to revisit my steps and iterations for creating my worthy goals. And today's discussion is energizing me to get me in the right mindset and really keeping me on track for future planning. Like you said, we did spend a lot of time getting to that goal process, and now let's see how it comes to fruition. So let's end this part of our conversation with a quote from MBS. In How to Begin, he writes that we unlock our greatness by working on the hard things. And that's inspiring, especially as we get into our very busy season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In addition, Michael always signs off with, you're awesome and you're doing great. And, and so, Laura, you're awesome. You're doing great. And thanks for another wonderful shared discussion.
Hooray. Well, that's such a great sign off, and exactly the same to you. So you're awesome. You're doing great. And yeah, I'm so glad that we were able to talk more about this work and do so here on the podcast. We'd also like to extend the invitation to you, dear listener, to share your ongoing story of learning as well. Take a moment to pause and think wherever you're listening from and consider, what ideas have you heard today that have sparked your interest and inspired further learning about how to begin?
You may also find us on Twitter at Dig Learn Radio to continue the conversation and share your own learning that's inspiring you this week.
This season, we're dedicated to sharing our learning and the things that are inspiring us. We hope that when we share, the conversation and ideas will cultivate curiosity and inspire you to explore one of the resources, reflect on a question we've asked, or continue the conversation with us online. Share your learning inspiration and ideas from this episode and beyond.
We are, as ever, inspired to learn from Gail Allen and her work in the New Pillars of Modern Teaching. She reminds us that when we share, we add a sentence to the story we communicate about ourselves to the world. Let's continue learning, sharing, and transforming. Let's get inspired.